So our final storyteller, Anyon, is someone that I ran into once at the Covenant House just in passing, and I was working here with Paul, who's behind me, and Paul said to Anyon, oh, this is Tara. She runs this thing at Cyrano's. It's like a storytelling thing. She's always trying to find people to tell stories. And he sort of backed up and was like, oh, yeah, I know, I'm not going to do that. And I mean, I wasn't, you know, I was just saying hi. But so I didn't ask him. But then Paul did ask him. So he's here tonight, and we're grateful for it.
So I guess you got me. I was born in Brooklyn, New York in 19. And I think I had a childhood that I don't know if a lot of kids have anymore. I mean, it was really, I think it was great, but looking back, it's probably kind of naive. I mean, I believed in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy and, you know, I would lose a tooth and put it under the pillow, and the next night, you know, I'd wake up and want to be money there, Tooth Fairy. For Easter, my mother and father would hide an Easter basket in the house, and I'd have to go look for it. And, you know, I'd go find it and read a card. It said, from the Easter Bunny. And it had paw prints in ink, 2-3 circles in ink. And to my mind, that was the Easter Bunny. I'd run to the window. My mother's like, yo, you just missed him. And I would run to the window and look down the street. And I guess I missed him. And an Easter Bunny hopping down a street in Brooklyn early Sunday morning, I guess I missed him. Santa Claus had magic keys to the apartments and snuck in the windows. And pretty sketchy if you think about it. But but you know, as a child, you believe this stuff, and it becomes part of your childhood, and it's like a magical kind of thing. So I was willing to believe in things when I was little because they worked out. The Easter Bunny brought me stuff. I had the Tooth Fairy giving me money. Santa Claus brought me gifts. Why not believe in things? And so, you know, I read a lot of comic books, and I was a big Star Wars fan and stuff like this growing up. And so being a Jedi Knight was a career option for me at the time. It was something if I studied enough and concentrated, or maybe I'd go be an archaeologist and fight Nazis. That looked pretty cool, you know. That looked good. I could do that. And so, and you know, Batman didn't have any powers. He just trained a lot and came cool gadgets. I could kind of build stuff, okay? And so, but I was also very sickly. I was a severe asthmatic when I was little. And almost didn't make it at the beginning. Had to be put in an incubator. So I was very sickly. So when it came time for grade school, they basically had to shop me around the area because a lot of places didn't want to take me. So the public school in the area that everybody else went to wouldn't take me. So the only place that would take me was the Catholic school. And in this Catholic school, it was first to eighth grade. There was no junior high, so first to eighth grade. So I went from child to teenager in the same school. I had friends that I still have now via Facebook that I've known for like over 25, 30 years. It was like a bonding, but they took me. And they took me in and they took care of me. And which meant a lot because I had a really warm family. And so I liked that nurturing kind of atmosphere. I thrive better when I have women taking care of me. And so the nuns did. They took care of me. And I'm like, that's cool. You know, if I cursed, of course, I had liquid green soap poured in my mouth. And this was an old-time Catholic school. If I got caught chewing gum right on my forehead, and if I forgot my tie, I had to wear a girl's tie. And if I got, got in trouble like I did one time. I got into a food fight in the cafeteria. And I had a friend in the back, a few tables down, and I figured I could hit him with an apple. I was a quarterback, I had a good arm. I get him with apple. I didn't see a teacher cutting across, and her head basically intercepted the apple, and she went down. And so I figured, well, all of these people are my friends. Nobody's gonna rat on me. So they said, who threw the apple? And 350 kids pointed at me. And so, but in spite of that, I loved my school. I didn't like getting up in the morning. I couldn't understand why you had to go to school every day. It just never made sense. But being in a Catholic school, you know, they have their own ways and they have their own their styles. And I grew up in this style. And it's the only style I knew. So I was a young Catholic boy, hook, line, and sinker. I used to work in the church with the priest, which later on turned out, once again, maybe a little sketch. But I helped out on the altar. I had my own little yellow book of Bible stories with the drawing pictures inside, right? Old school. I had my own book of the Stations of the Cross, my own personal, that I carried in like a little pouch and would take out. It was like, it was a big deal. And so you go through this. So I was about in fifth grade. And right before the break, we learned about the origins of the church and Jesus going in the temple. Origin of the church, a very small, humble place of worship. And Jesus flipped out when he went to the temple, so what they were selling. So this was right before Christmas break. And right before that, this girl named Alexis told me there was no Santa Claus, okay? Which, that should have been an omen. And so, I went home and asked my mother, "Dear Santa Claus." She was like, "Well, you really want to know?" And I said, "No, but I could see in the look in her eyes what the answer was going to be." So my father takes me down to St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, one of the biggest churches in the world. And I walk in there. And what do I see? But all the stuff that I just read about is not supposed to be in the church. I saw souvenir stands and golden statues and t-shirts and keychains. And I was 9 or 10 and I flipped out. I felt like a little black Jesus in the temple. I was outraged. But there was nothing for me to turn over. I was looking for a table to flip over. Nothing. So my father takes me outside because now I'm crying, I'm shaking. And it's freezing outside and I'm like sweating. And I'm like, "Can you believe?" And he looks at me, he goes, "I know." "What do you mean you know?" I was like, "What is like a big secret that you haven't been sharing with me? What do you mean you know?" So he buys me some hot chocolate, just add it to the sweat. So now I'm angry, I'm outraged. I want to go back to school right after Christmas vacation. The only time I ever wanted to go back to school after vacation. I have questions now. I want to speak to people. You have to give me answers now. And so I go back and ask you what you do for your Christmas vacation. And they're telling stuff like, "Oh, we went to grandma's house and stuff." And now this is all nonsense to me. I'm not talking about toys or anything. So I'm raising my hand. I'm like, "Well, what about, this is what I saw in the temple, right? That's what I called it now. This is what I saw in the temple. And what about this and what about this?" And my teacher, even if we had teachers that weren't nuns or priests in there, so, they kind of had to toe the company line a little bit. And so I said, "Well, you just said this was wrong, and I went here in the biggest church in New York City, and I saw this and I saw that." She just smiled and said, "Well, that was kind of the answer. Well, And now that made me even more angry. So after class, I kind of cornered her. And I said, and I wasn't always this height. I was down here, so I'm like looking up at her. And I'm like, "You said this and you said that." And she goes, "I know." The second person that's told me, they knew. And I'm like, obviously there's a secret going around that nobody's sharing with me. So now I'm outraged. But then I start thinking, if this is wrong, then maybe what Alexis said was true. There's no Santa Claus. If there's no Santa Claus, there's no Easter Bunny. If there's no Easter Bunny, there's no Tooth Fairy. I can't be a Jedi Knight when I grow up. I can't fight Nazis. So like this whole world just started crumbling. And so I go back home, and my father told me, never be afraid to question. He said, seek your own truth, which was really pretty smart for him. And so you know, he kind of pointed me. He used to talk about these books when I was little, about other type of books. And so one of the books he told me about, I kind of just put it away. And years later, I went to California maybe a year or two later to visit my uncle. And I was in a little bookstore, and I bumped into a bookshelf. And book fell, and I picked up. It was the book my father told me about a couple years ago. So that started me on my alternate path of finding other truths, because obviously I wasn't getting it from Catholic school. So I just kind of played out the string my next 3-4 years in Catholic school. I wasn't the same person. I wasn't into it anymore. I was just questioning and questioning. Of course, the nuns weren't very happy about that, because questioning is not a trait they encourage in Catholic school. And so at one point, I just stopped believing altogether. Nothing made sense. There was no logic to it. You know, my mind was going in overdrive. And so slowly but surely, I started reading other books and trying to find, read history, Christian history and stuff like that. And I read these books called Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. And it kind of, it's something I could get with, something I could wrap my mind around that would work. So fast forward a couple months ago, I'm helping to teach Bible study in a church, right? My friend, she goes to church and they ask for help with these Awana games, and before the games, you have to teach, help the kids with scripture and stuff, and you play games. So they ask me to help with the kids. So this kid corners me outside the class, and he goes, none of this makes any sense to me. He goes, what about this and what about that? And I said, I know.